I'm having a moment here. This is Mysteries Inc. and I'm Spring. It's been a long day. Let's just forgive me here. I'm Spring and I've got my buddy here.
I'm Joe. It's a shame we can't, you know, edit things.
This is good.
It's
this is
live.
Good. You guys can just
this is really live, so everyone.
Yeah, you guys just understand how Joe and I technically work, which is just barely functioning. We're good.
And we could have started over if you wanted. But
no, I'm fucking rolling with this.
Rolling through.
We're going live. We're going live.
Some of our audience may be too young to remember that, Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly.
Anyways.
Right. So now that I fucked that part up.
Welcome to Mysteries, Mysteries Inc., everyone. We tell you all about histories, mysteries, conspiracies, and creatures. So, if you're new here, our rock, paper, scissors. And again, we've been pretty busy, so this is another remote episode. And so, let's see. Okay. So, we're still doing the piece of paper for our rock, paper, scissors.
Yes.
Which works pretty well.
Genius.
Yeah.
Genius.
Good idea, Mike. Ready? Rock,
yep.
Paper,
rock,
scissors.
Paper, scissors, shoot.
Damn.
Oh, Todd, we scissored.
All right, rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Shoot.
Damn it.
Yes, rock wins. Rock wins. Rock and roll. All right. All right, I actually am bringing, you guys don't know this, but Joe and I actually had a few episodes that we recorded that turned out like they kind of didn't record very well and they were old ideas, but I've held on to some of the stories because I'm like, gosh darn it all, they're really freaking good.
Well, it's good that you waited so long because I'll have totally forgotten.
Exactly. So I'm bringing back one of my saints.
Oh.
Saint Christina, the astonishing or the brain damaged.
I don't remember this one. Okay, good.
We're gonna go into a little bit of mental health and mental illness kind of a thing, in my opinion. Or was she a saint? We don't know. All right. So, Saint Christina, a.k.a. I Anoint the Anointed, a.k.a. Christina Mirabilis. I believe it's Mirabilis. She is the patron saint of millers, psychotherapists, and mental health.
Hmm.
Her feast day is July 24th, so it's coming up soon. And she was born in 1150, I believe, B.C.
No, I mean, probably not, because I'm guessing.
It didn't say. I didn't write it down, so let's just go with it.
I would think, if she's a Christian saint, I would think after Christ.
Oh, okay.
Or common era.
Whatever. She was born in 1150, okay?
Yes.
In the town of Bruthem. In Belgium, to a religious family, and she was the youngest of three girls. By the time she reached 15, she was an orphan, and her sisters and her worked herding animals to the
pasture. Why were they herding them?
Well, because they weren't walking on their own, so they had to make sure they found their way.
Gotta herd them. Herd them good.
This all goes along with it. So around the age of 22, Christina had a massive seizure. And it left her in such a state that she was pronounced dead.
Dang.
As per custom at the time, Christina was carried in her open coffin to a church for requiem mass. Things took a turn after the priest got to the Agnus Dei, which Agnus Dei is a chant used in Eurochrist Eucharistic.
Eucharistic.
And then,
Eucharistic.
Yeah, and liturgy. I am so sorry. I did not phonetically spell these out.
Well, it's also I've heard these because they're Catholic words.
Yeah. What's the L one?
Liturgical. Liturgy is the word I'm familiar with. Liturgical? I don't know. That sounds funny.
Well, yeah, they're right. It's a right. Well, the priest got up to it, and it's right when they normally say, like, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, yep, have mercy on us. And it leads to, like, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace.
Yeah.
Well, as the priest got to that part, Christina sat upright in her coffin and then soared like a bird into the rafters of the church.
Well, that's creepy.
So, as you can imagine, it freaked out the parishioners, and they took off, leaving Christina's older sisters and the priest in the church. They called her to come down, and she refused, saying that she could not stand the smell of sinful human flesh.
So now, I know a little bit about mental health, but I've never seen it make anyone fly.
People fly? Well, so. I think they're exaggerating. She might have just been like, I don't know. I wasn't there.
Maybe took off like a monkey and skittered up there.
So anyways, she said she couldn't come down because everybody stank. And then they said that she claimed that she had died. She went to hell and visited purgatory and even had time to stop in heaven. Like, she took the full-on tour.
Sweet.
Or they told her that she could, like, God came up to her and he gave her some choices. He told her that she could stay in heaven or she can go back to earth and help the souls trapped in purgatory with her prayers. And, of course, she chose to come back and help the souls of the dead. That convinced everyone to not be mean to her anymore for a while. Whether it was real divine intervention or brain damage from the seizure, life for Christina was never the same. Not able to stand the smell of human flesh or of their sins, she gave up all her worldly comforts and dressed in rags and ran away from human contact. She didn't want nobody touching her. People thought she was possessed and had her jailed. Sound familiar? Like every other saint? Well, when she got out, she was overwhelmed with the desire to endure extreme penance, so she would often put herself in extremely dangerous situations. She would jump into fires or grab some in her hands and handle it around. She would jump into rivers in the middle of winter. Sometimes she would float into a mill race
I was just going to say, she was really ahead of her time with that ice bath thing.
Well, yeah. But she would get into the giant wheel that was in the mills. Like, and she would just kind of bat around in there. And she would, the claim is that she always came out of each situation unscathed, never injured. So Christina was also known to pray in strange positions, like balanced on strange objects or curled into a ball on the ground.
I also can't help but think of Jackass. <It's> like, she would have done great in that show.
Well, as you can imagine, people were weirded out by her actions, thinking that she was possessed by demons and would try to jail and detain her. But every time, she was able to escape. She was a wascally wabbit, you know? For example, a man attacked Christina, broke her leg, and tied her up. A doctor was sent to mend her, and he chained her to a pillar for her own safety. As soon as the doctor left, she broke out and took off.
Yeah. Well, good. She was the one who was assaulted.
And another time she was offered, refused to have Holy Communion. And as a result, she jumped in the river and floated away. She just didn't want to deal with it. And okay. According to a Dominican biographer named Toma de Contempre, who knew her personally, everything in Christina's life changed after she sat in water that was blessed for baptism. He wrote, her way of living was more conformed to that of men. She was quieter and better able to stand the smell of human beings. So then she spent the rest of her life in the Dominican convent of St. Catherine in St. Tradin, and she died of natural causes in 1224 at the age of 74. During that time, many nobles and people of influence came to her seeking advice. Which I thought was kind of weird. She literally was just like, ew, you all stink. I can fly like a bird, and I'm sent here to pray for you. And she just, like, I don't know. It sounds like
you just do jackass
schizophrenia. No, it sounds like paranoid schizophrenia. Like, something in her lobes were, like, damaged when she had that seizure.
Yeah.
And they couldn't explain it, so they just kind of, like, rationalized. Like, if she was talking about the power of potatoes, she wouldn't have been remembered as much. But because she, like, it was everything centered around religion, of course she became a saint.
Right. That was how you made sense of the world. No one
remembers Mary Beth, who loved potatoes.
Well, yeah.
I do.
Clearly. Otherwise, I never would have heard of her.
See? It makes sense.
Yes. Total sense.
So, what do you bring to the table, Mr. Joe?
Well, that was fun. I liked that. That was... I kind of want to learn more about her. St. Christina. Well, I guess you told me that. I just want to hear more of her weird, destructive antics.
Definitely not invited to my party.
Truly the jackass pioneer of her day.
The jackass.
So, I'm going to tell you all about Mel's Hole.
Wait, what?
Mel's Hole. Have you ever heard of Mel's Hole?
I've heard of a few girls named Mel, but I don't know if I've heard a lot about their holes.
Nah, this is an old guy named Mel Waters and his hole.
Oh, it's a guy.
No.
That changes my desire. There
might be a video out there somewhere called Mel's Hole, but this is not the same thing.
Okay.
So, this is about Mel Waters, and this is an alleged mysterious bottomless pit near Ellensburg, Washington. And it is absolutely bizarre. It's a, kind of a modern-day urban myth. Actually, it was called a rural myth because it's in the middle of nowhere.
I get it.
So this claim first publicly surfaced in 1997 when Mel had called Coast to Coast AM. I think we've talked a little bit about Coast to Coast AM, Art Bell. It was a weird, like, nightly radio show that they talk about all kinds of things, but particularly like supernatural and conspiracy theories. It was basically the cool thing of its time. I don't know if it's still going on. I don't know. Anyways,
so it was like Reddit before Reddit, almost
kind of.
Cool people were just going around talking about weird, interesting things.
Yeah, kind of. I'm trying to think of a good parallel, like a cooler Alex Jones, maybe. I don't know. Anyways.
All right. All right.
So in 1997, Mel Waters called the Coast to Coast AM and got through. And he would call a few more times to elaborate on his hole, but basically it goes that he owned a property about 9 miles west of Ellensburg, Washington. And it contained this mysterious deep hole that... him and his neighbors used to just throw junk in, and frankly, like,
I thought you were gonna say that because, like, you got a hole and you don't know how far it goes. Man, throw a refrigerator in there, see what happens.
Yeah, actually, the refrigerators do get thrown in there. We'll talk about that. But so they would throw things in there, and it never seemed to fill. So it was just the bottomless pit. At one point, according to him, it was more than 80,000 feet deep, because he determined this by lowering 80,000 feet of fishing line with a weight, and was allegedly unable to reach the bottom. I found one comment by one article that had a comment from a geologist who said that would be impossible. You'd just melt the line. Maybe that's what happened, and he just kept lowering it, and it would melt. I don't know. but no geologist really believed it. I found one where there's a geologist standing where the alleged hole was, and it's like, I don't think that's... They're throwing big things in there. I don't think that's the hole. So,
yeah.
Anyways. So, yeah, him and his neighbors would just throw trash in there, dead animals, because there was, like, some sheep herders in the area, and so there's some things with sheep. But, yeah, they'd just throw everything in there, and it never filled. One neighbor even claimed to have thrown his dead dog into the pit. only to see the dog the next day wearing the same collar wandering around in the woods. Oh, I don't think the dog came back to him, but yeah, this was a creepy pit with creepy powers. So it gets even weirder. So, like, you know, also weird that the dog, you know, dog came out of there, because dogs were said to, like, refuse to go within, like, 100 feet of this hole, and birds wouldn't land anywhere near it. Objects would act really strange around Mel's hole. Radios that got near. I know, I just like calling it Mel's hole.
I do too. I'm trying to hold back from all the your mom jokes. Like, your mom's hole is like that. I'm sorry.
So, strange things with Mel's hole. If a radio got near it, it would, like, change channels or play, like, just weird voices. No, actually, that's the weird thing. It would play old stuff. Like, it would be, like, weird old programs would come out of the radio. Yeah. So, one of his neighbors allegedly saw, like, a big black beam of light, they said, shoot from the pit. Like, a big, giant black laser. I don't know. I'm not sure how that works, because, like, you know, light is the opposite of black, but... Just pure darkness shot out of this one time.
Your mom knows all about that.
Big black laser. So Mel did lots of experiments with his hole. In one such experiment... Jeez,
I'm sorry! You didn't prepare me. Obviously you don't, but like, God damn it all.
When I wrote this too, I worded it to just for maximum impact.
The hole was gaping, and we threw shit in there.
So,
all right, continue.
And some of his experimenting with his hole, he lowered a bucket of ice down about 15,000 feet. When he pulled the bucket back out, the ice had not melted, but it was warm, and supposedly it became flammable. Right, and you know, there's, you're doing these experiments, there are video cameras at this time, this is the 90s. I want to see videos. So he said that, like, it was a weird noise thing, like if you yelled into the hole there was no echo, and he would throw large items that would normally, like, large enough that you would think would make some noise, like a refrigerator or TVs,
yeah.
And no sound was ever heard. Nothing, you couldn't hear anything hit the bottom or hitting the sides. Very strange. And probably the wildest thing he ever did was lower a sheep down into the hole, like a live sheep. And just like the bucket, he lowered
it. I don't know why she smelled, sorry. He put the sheep in the hole to get the...
Oh, okay. I was like, where are you going with this? Oh, and I'm looking at this. I made a typo. I don't know if it's 15,000 feet or 1,500 feet, because I wrote two, apparently. He put it down in the hole.
It's in the hole.
So he put the sheep in the hole. That's pretty much it. And so naturally, the sheep... kicked and screamed going down, but then suddenly went silent. And he continued to, he lowered it all the way down where he went, and then he lifted it back out, and the sheep had been completely cooked. But
what?
I know, kind of shitty to the sheep, but yeah, so the sheep was cooked. That's we're barely scratching the surface here with how weird this gets. So it had also developed like a strange lump. And this is where it gets truly insane. He cut this lump open only to find a fetal seal, which gazed up at him with intelligent human-like eyes.
This guy's a liar. A fucking liar.
Hold on.
He just wants people to look at his gaping hole. He's going to rape you once you get in there.
Hold on.
You want to go see my hole?
You'll get cooked in the hole. You don't go in the hole. So if that's not crazy enough, this creature miraculously cured his cancer. And then, I don't know
and
if
then
this
he
is...
married it, right?
No, I was like, oh, I wonder if he kept it. It apparently jumped back into the hole from whence it came. And then later, I guess it must have escaped again because local sheep herders claimed to have seen it, and it had a benevolent presence.
It's his fucking kid. He didn't fucking the sheep, and he was lying about it. And now
so he tried to put it in the hole,
cover it up. Oh no, it came from a hole. Yeah, the fucking sheep's hole, you dill.
Well, it's like it's a sheep. I don't know why a baby seal came out of it. With cured his cancer.
That's where the saint is in the story. It wasn't in my story. You got the saint.
Right. So obviously, you know, being there being a cure for cancer, you can't have that. So the government did not, or they got involved. They didn't like all this attention coming onto this mystery hole. I didn't mean to word it like that, but so on a later call, Waters described an encounter where he'd been approached by a man in a suit accompanied by a bunch of others wearing hazmat suits. Well, this is while he is heading out to the hole. And he was told that the area had been closed off due to a plane crash, and the area was restricted, and he had to leave. He could not come there. And soon after, the government allegedly purchased the land from him for a lot more than it was worth, and he took that money and moved to Australia.
Yeah. Nobody's got his address. He's just gone.
Gone. So then on his final call to Coast to Coast, Space Ghost, Coast to Coast. Now, on his final call, he claimed to have attempted to visit the hole again 2 years after moving to Australia, even though he had been warned by the government to stay away and never return. And he was on his way there, and then next thing he knew, some police officers were removing him from a bus in San Francisco.
You're like, we know you're gonna go fuck with that hole again.
Well, no, he just blacked out, and like, he woke up on a bus, getting woken up by the police, and he had a bunch of IV marks on his arm and was missing several teeth and had no memory of how he got there.
Same happens to a lot of guys when they get towards your mom's hole.
So, let's see. He allegedly also found another hole, a similar hole in Nevada. I couldn't find much about that hole, the Nevada hole. So interest in Mel's hole continues today. How I originally heard about this was I found people talking about it on TikTok. And then in 2009, a self-described tribal medicine man, which one place I saw said they don't think he's even indigenous at all.
So, yeah.
Known as Gerald Osborne or Red Elk, claims to have visited the hole many times since 1961. He claimed to have seen UFOs flying over the pit, and he speculated that it might be an underground UFO base. And he passed in like 2017 or something, but I couldn't find much about him, just that he was his self-described tribal medicine man. It may not surprise you to learn that there's no concrete evidence of this hole's existence, or even like that Mel Waters was a real person. So
like this whole thing could just be a bunch of hoopla.
It was just a series of calls to a radio show. And like everything
his days before, like
everything his neighbors said was just he said, yeah, my neighbors said they told me this. So it is just this weird dude's story, and like it still gets talked about today.
Well, and that's the thing though, is like you would think there'd be a local around there that would be like, yeah, we used to throw like M80s in there and shit, and you know what I mean? Like somebody would be talking about all the shit they threw in there.
People did talk about it. After this came out, people talked about it, and then they're like, people would go try to find it, kind of, and that was where like the geologist like standing by.
Yeah,
it.
But I'm just saying, like, you're telling me Mel never invited anybody over to play with his hole?
His neighbors.
Exactly, they were throwing shit down in Mel's hole too.
It's more of a don't ask, don't tell kind of situation.
Oh my god! Then I think they're all full of shit because.
That's what happens when you play in holes.
Right. I need to see this hole, or I'm not. It's not real. It's not real.
Enough butthole jokes. Let's wrap this one up. So, Well, thanks for listening, everyone. As usual,
yeah, that was awesome.
Like, subscribe, follow, share all that stuff. Feel free to contact us with questions, comments, concerns.
I don't know. Save the concerns. I don't know, man. No,
keep your holes to yourself.
Leave your holes to yourself. Remember, Saint Seal, like donkey. I don't
know. Yeah, seal donkey. All right. See you next week, everybody. Bye.